You gotta turn that one on. Hebrews Hebrews 9 verses 11 through 14. But Christ, that's a good way to start any statement. But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats, and blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Yeah. What I want to talk about this morning is his blood. The blood of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this is not necessarily or even close to what we would call a pretty subject. But the blood is real. It's real. I believe it to be important and necessary. It plays a very, very big part in the scripture, Old Testament and New, because there are multiple references in both to the blood. In the Old Testament, we have it in figure. It's a good word, because it was literally real blood that was shed in the Old Testament, notwithstanding what the Reformed Jews say today. I had a discussion with a rabbi once, and he was a Reform rabbi. Not Reformed, made that very clear. I don't know what the difference is, but he said he was a Reform rabbi. And he tried to tell me that this book, this Old Testament, which is all the Jews had and all they want now, was just a book of stories to show us how we should behave and how we should act and how we should live. Now, I mentioned the fact to him that I guess it's a bunch of stories about how God was sticking his nose in our business if all it was supposed to do was teach us how to act. Because the Old Testament is full of what God does, what God did, and what God was going to do. But he did tell me that, no, they really didn't kill all those bulls and goats. That was just stories. I beg to differ. This book is true. This book is real. And that blood that was shed in the Old Testament was real.
Yes.
And it was a figure of what was to come. And he came. But we'll see it in history, in the reality of the blood in the Old Testament. Because this Bible speaks of blood very, very, very often. And it's real blood, and they speak real often. Because there were blood sacrifices. A lot of people don't realize this. A lot of people don't think about this. There were blood sacrifices before there was the law.
Right. Yeah.
Long before there was a law.
Yeah.
Now, just for a place where I had to start, Genesis 4:3. I started to do Genesis 3, where somebody got clothed with coats of skin. But that wasn't shown as or spoken of there as a sacrifice. I do believe blood was shed. Because I don't think you can get skins off animals without having blood shed, no matter what happens. But it doesn't say it there. It does say in Genesis 4:3, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell, and bad things happened after that. Abel brought the firstling of the flock for an offering to God. Now, I've seen pictures of this, and usually what they show is a picture of a guy standing next to a baby sheep. That baby sheep is alive and kicking. Abel offered that to God, and the fat thereof, he killed that thing. He killed it. It's a firstling of the flock. That's a lamb. Now, where did Abel get this information? We're not told. But I suspect he learned it from his daddy, Adam. And I suspect Adam learned it from Christ, who spoke to him in the garden. But blood was shed at this offering. You don't get the fat thereof without shedding blood. Okay? There was no liposuction back then. Blood was shed, blood offering. And the firstling of the flock. He even told him what kind of ram. And Abel, the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. A blood sacrifice, a firstling of the flock and the fat thereof. But unto Cain he did not have respect, to him or his offering. Then in Genesis 9:4, God's instructions to Noah after the flood. Walter, I watched that movie. We're going to have to talk. My gosh. Lord have mercy. Well, by the end of that movie, you get kind of, but before you get to quite to the end of that movie, you're getting kind of ticked at Noah. But there were some things they changed for no particular reason other than to create conflict in that movie. They were making up stuff. But he told Noah, after the ark landed, go forth, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. And then he gave this command at the end. He said, but the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. You can eat the flesh of animals. Eat the flesh of animals. There's nothing wrong with being a omnivore. You can eat meat. But he told them, he said, don't eat the blood. He doesn't tell them why. Not here. He just tells them don't. This is the first mention of the Bible why the Lord considers the blood to be special and different from the flesh. He says blood is the life of the flesh. The blood is said to be life outside of the flesh, and we are not to eat it. We're to eat the flesh, but you don't eat the blood. And this is what he says. And the reason he said it is, this is what he meant. The blood was special to the Lord because of what it typified, what it was a figure of, what was to come. And that's the instruction God gave to Noah. Still, all this before the law. Again, before the law, Genesis 22 and verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father, and he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? This is before the law too. says Abraham was before the law, 400 years before the law. But Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. Now, you know the story. God did provide a lamb. That Abraham was ready to slay his son as an offering because God said to. Isaac was already dead in his eyes. But Isaac was delivered by the substitution of a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And they slew that ram in the place of Isaac. Blood was shed. Abraham, believing that he and Isaac were going up and both coming down, because God had promised that seed through Isaac, shall thy seed be called. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. God would raise up Isaac if Abraham killed him. That's what he thought. But here the point is, every true sacrifice ever made was provided by God above. God will provide himself a sacrifice. From Abel to Christ, it has always been that way. If you got a firstling of the flock when you were in the Old Testament, God gave you that firstling. Every sacrifice has been provided by God. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. That was in figure and in reality. Then we have the Passover. I'm going to look there. It's Exodus chapter 12. Mainly because I really like the Passover. I can't help it. This is also before the law. The Passover sacrifice was before the law. Exodus chapter 12, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Amen. Because this is what we're going to do. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for the house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of their souls. Every man according to his eating shall you make your count for the lamb. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it up unto the 14th day of the same month. And this next verse, or this next portion of this verse, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now there was a bunch of lambs there. There was one for every family, or one for every two families. There were several thousand people there. But it says the whole congregation shall slay it. It's one Passover lamb. Because if you don't have a Passover lamb for your house, you're doomed. The only one that matters is the one that's on you. It's your house. And the whole congregation does it at one time. Why? Because that blood was shed for the congregation. For the whole congregation. For the whole of God's people. That blood was to be shed. And it was done at one time. And it was done as one. And the whole congregation killed that sheep, that lamb. But then in verse 7, we have an application of the blood. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. You're going to eat the lamb. You're going to take the lamb into your body. But the blood gets applied on the outside. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and bitter herbs shall they shall eat it. And in verse 11, thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. Why? It's the Lord's Passover. It's His Passover. It ain't your Passover. It's His Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The only difference between their house and the house of an Egyptian was that blood. That's the only difference. And that's the only difference that matters. And it didn't matter whether you saw the blood or not inside that house. Walter and I talked about this. This is speaking of justification. Okay? This is not speaking of regeneration or conversion. This is speaking of justification, redemption. You could have been a baby in that house, Mason, and been totally unaware of it, but you were covered by that blood. And when God saw that blood, you were passed over. You didn't die. Death went everywhere else, but not where the blood was, because the death had already taken place. The death had already been happened. The blood had already been shed. And when I see that blood, death is already there. I don't need death. I will pass over you. They were given a substitute. They were given that substitute, and that blood showed. It was put on the door. And it was right where God could see it. Why? Because that's where God told him to put it. Death passed in every other household in Egypt except for those that were covered by that blood. Inside those houses, with the blood applied, not only was there life, there was food. There was sustenance. Now you were to eat it fully dressed with your shoes on, your staff in your hand, and you eat it in haste. Why? Because you might have something to do once God passes over you. Because once God passes over you, it's time to get up and get out. And that's what happened. They left. They left Egypt behind. With the death and the wailing of the families who lost their firstborns. Those deaths were real. This is not just a story to scare children. This is not a cute Bible story. This is the way God works. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And whom he will, he hardens. That's what he tells Moses in the wilderness. He's going to say, let me see your glories. I'll let my goodness pass before you. Yes, he's a merciful God. Yes, he is a gracious God. But he has mercy to whom he will have mercy. And he has grace to whom he will have grace. He has compassion to whom he will have compassion. Why? Because it's his will that matters, not ours. He could have told the Egyptians to put blood over their lintels. He didn't. He didn't. Why? I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy.
Yeah.
I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. That's the only answer we have. Because that's the only answer He's given us. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. And that's in Egypt on the night of Passover. Just as true as it is right now here in 2015. God is still on the throne and God is still doing all His good pleasure. Why? Because He wills to do so. But here in this picture, it is just, for me, a beautiful picture, even though it's not pretty. You know? I don't take great pride in my house, but I like my house. I like my lawn to be mowed and all that stuff. But I don't like throwing blood on the door. But when God says do it, you do it. And when God does it, God does it. And when the blood is applied, the blood is applied. You don't have any say in it. But in Leviticus then, chapter 17, verse 11, it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." Now this is what He told Noah. "And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls." That's not what He told Noah. At least that we know of. It's not written down. "For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." Verse 14 continues on, "For it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore, because of this, I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh. For the life of all flesh is the blood thereof, and whosoever eateth it shall be cut off." It's the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. This is the word of the law of God. The blood makes the atonement for the soul. Now these sacrifices, there are many. I'm not going to go into those. But there are many. There were doves. There were bulls. There were heifers. There were goats. There were sheep. There were he-goats. There were she-goats. All of them, blood was shed. And all of these sacrifices were ordered, ordained, authorized, provided, and required by God at that time. And not a one of them took away one sin. But they were the figures of the true. They were the types of He who was to come. Sacrifices were made as a type of the sacrifice to come. The blood that was shed in the Old Testament was a figure of the blood that was to be shed in the New Testament. And His blood is real. Jesus Christ is a man. I said that purposely. He came to this planet, God manifest in the flesh. He came in the fullness of time. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. He was made by God a little lower than the angels. That's Psalm 8:5 and Hebrews 2:7-9. Philippians 2 says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He came in flesh and blood. He didn't come in sinful flesh, in the likeness of sinful flesh. He did not come in sinful flesh. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. Let me get that right. He did not come in the nature or in the appearance of unfallen Adam as a perfect human being. He came, he had no beauty that we should desire him. But he did come as a man. He came in the flesh. There was no sin in him, in his flesh, in his blood, in his mind, in his heart. I like that word, Walter, impeccable. But he came as a man. He lived as a man. Oh yeah, I see you. Videotape of the Yellow Jacket I might have to kill later. He came as a man. He lived as a man. And he allowed himself to be crucified. He allowed himself. He told Peter, he says, don't you know that if I wanted to, I could call 12 legions of angels. And he could. All it would have took was his word, his voice. But no, for this cause came I into this world. It was prophesied before he got here, that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be the Son of God. He shall save his people from their sins. Call his name Jesus. And we have the whole Old Testament speaking to us. The atonement for the soul is in the blood. He was crucified and he died. He was pierced with a spear and out forth came blood and water. His blood was shed. His blood was shed. His blood was shed. For real. And his blood was shed for a purpose. The purpose spoken of in the Old Testament, the purpose he spoke of while he was here, and the purpose that exists right now that we know of in the writings in this book, we are told. His actual, literal blood was shed for his people. Because that's what we have here in Hebrews chapter 9. Is this a fact? Walter, I wanted to put his blood is sufficient, his blood is efficacious, his blood is effective. But I know all that's true, but I just kind of marked it out and put his blood is precious. Neither by the blood of bull, of blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. And right there, the words "for us" are interpolated. You can leave them off. He's obtained eternal redemption. We'll find out who it's for later. He entered by his own blood. His blood is incorruptible. 1 Peter, I want to read that because I don't want to get it wrong. 1 Peter, where was it? That's 2 Peter. No wonder I couldn't find it. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. You weren't redeemed by corruptible things. but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. His blood is precious. His blood's incorruptible. That's the juxtaposition here. That's the inference or whatever. I done forgot the other word. He talks about corruptible things such as silver and gold, and we such great store by them. But no, that's corruptible. His blood is incorruptible. As incorruptible as He is. And that is how we were redeemed. With His blood. By His blood. We have that redemption He obtained through His blood. The church of God was purchased with His blood. God set Him forth as the propitiation, the mercy seat, the appeasement, through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness, what? For the remission. Now I looked at that word remission. The definition of that word remission is Passover. Two words, Passover. For the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. We are justified by His blood. Declared righteous. He made peace through His blood. Through the blood of His cross. I don't have to make peace. He has made peace. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Now be ye reconciled to God. From Christ Jesus, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. He that loved us and washed us. There are people that talk a lot. You got to get your sins under the blood. I wish you could. He applies His blood. He washes us in His blood. We are washed in His blood. That's true. It's not something we do. It never has been. John put it this way, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There is an ongoing thing. But guess what? He does that too. It's all His work. And it's all through His precious blood, which was shed. I'm sorry, I hate to bring this part up. It was shed for many. From the beginning to the end, God is particular. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. The words of Jesus Christ says, for this is Matthew 26 and verse 28, for this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of sin. The remission of sins for many. The writer of Hebrews takes it up in verse 22, and almost, what was that, 22? Oh, that's the one. No, I'm sorry, that's not what I wanted right here. Verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Many. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Those that the Lord shed His blood for, that many, will look for Him. There's a result. of the blood of Jesus Christ, of you being washed in the blood. There's a result to election. There's a result to redemption. There's a result. He brings you into the fold. The Good Shepherd does. You hear His voice and you follow. If you're not following, you got no claim to the blood. You got no reason to think you're under the blood. You got no reason to think you've been washed in the blood. If you're not following, you need to pay attention. If you're not following, you don't know Him. And if you don't know Him, that means you don't know Him. And if you don't know Him, you're not looking for Him. And He is going to appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And if you want to know what that is, that's to wit, the redemption of the body. That's been promised too. The shedding of the blood is over. The redemption is complete, eternal, and it is obtained. The cleansing is by Christ and it continues. And here's the conclusion of the whole matter. If you know Him and you're looking for Him, life is good. I get tickled every now and then. I see them people wearing them t-shirts. They got the bumper stickers. And that's what I said. Life is good. Yeah. But not if you're dead. But if He has shed His blood for you, and if He has revealed it to you, and if He has brought you, cleansed you, washed you, and you are following Him, life is good in Him. And there is only life in Him. There's no life outside of Him. But there is life in Him, and it is good. It's a pleasure to know Christ. It's a privilege, a blessing, a wonder, a miracle to know Him and to be looking for Him. And we owe it all to His blood, which was literally, willingly shed for His people. Because it's the blood that made the atonement for your soul. It's His blood. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place, but most of all thankful for You. You give us everything in and through Your Son: life, love, fellowship. Everything comes from You. Thank You, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
It's good, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Do we have a glass of water before we can kill that thing?
Huh?
Ah, there he is.
See if you can swap that thing.
Oh, I can smack him.
Come on, you're better.
Where'd he go?
Oh, he didn't work.
There.
He won't sting now.
Just mush him.
He's dead.
He's called him for car.
Oh, no.
That's what I kept waiting on, to slide my shirt sleeve or something.
Uh-huh.
It was swollen, carrying on.
Oh.